Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, that's crossandthrone.com. It's also paulsevangel.com. We have two names that go to the same place. Get a copy of the Concordant version, the Concordant commentary there, and all the other materials that we're making available, especially the material that we're making available of Mr. Martin Zender.
Thank you.
And he's with me again today.
Hi, everybody.
And last time we've been talking about freedom from sin and Martin's book on how to be free from sin while smoking a cigarette, and obviously we're getting into other topics as well. And that's going to lead us into, I know last time, Martin, you really, really wanted to talk about a cartoon you had in your book.
Yeah, funny cartoons.
So
why don't you
go ahead and take over at this point. What's this cartoon about?
Well, we were talking about that Christ frees us while we're still sinners. You mentioned Romans 5:8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for our sake. And I got a picture on page 39 of this guy who's obviously a drunkard. He's passed out on a chair. He's got a, looks like a pack of smokes at his feet, a booze bottle, and he's got his eyes closed. He's in a drunken stupor. And the verse associated with a man in this condition is from Romans 5:18, which goes this way. Consequently, then, as it was through one offense for all mankind for condemnation, and this is Adam's offense. Adam's offense brought this man to this terrible, terrible place. He's condemned now in Adam. We're all condemned in Adam. That's Romans 5. And Dan told you yesterday that death came through Adam. You didn't decide to die someday. You didn't decide to be mortal. You didn't decide to be a sinner. You were born into it through no fault of your own. So this is the sinner. I've named him Edmund in my book. This is the sinner Edmund and Adam. Another verse reference for you for poor Edmund here in this condition is Romans 5:12, through one man sin entered into the world. Thus we have poor Edmund condemned. Now, in the second half of this graphic, this cartoon, we have another picture of Edmund. And it's the same exact picture. He's still in a drunken stupor. He still has the booze bottle and the pack of smokes on the floor. And this picture says justified. And the verse references, thus also it is through one just award for all mankind for life's justifying. And this is the sinner Edmund in Christ. To the left you see the sinner Edmund who is condemned in Adam, and on the right you see the sinner Edmund justified by Christ. And the verse reference is 5, 8, and 9 of Romans. While we are still sinners, Christ died for our sakes, being now justified. Edmund is now justified. What changes with Edmund? That's the shock of this graphic. I mean, I wrote this crazy book, and I look at this, and I'm still stunned every time I see this. Because the picture is the same. Edmund's the same. Nothing has changed with him. It's a change. We have changed hands. This whole freedom from sin and salvation issue, we told you, had nothing to do with what you do, but this graphically illustrates it. We've merely changed hands. This is the terrible you in Adam. This is the terrible you now justified in Christ. Christ died while you were still a sinner. This is why you can be free from sin now. Because Christ did his best for you in your worst condition. He didn't do this when you started to attend church, when you started to treat your neighbor as yourself, when you name your good act there, name your good work. He did this in our worst possible condition while we were still sinners. And really, you have to see it graphically illustrated here to appreciate it. That's why I really want you to get a copy of this book. The reason this is my best-selling book is apparently, Dan, the book for people with weaknesses. Everybody has a weakness or a bad habit, except you.
Of course.
Yes. Well, you are right. Can I mention one thing about the title too?
Yes.
I got another cartoon,
I've just been talking nonstop, and you've been
sitting there twiddling your thumbs. I feel bad.
I was taking a nap. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You know, it's almost easier to see God justifying us from these big sins. Like, for instance, Saul, he's on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. Well, God justified him. Sure, that's a big act. God takes care of big things. Adultery, all these horrible headliner sins. And yet this book is called How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. These are the things that really, I'm guessing, the pastor at your church has really no answer for. You're covered for those stock sins that you just, well, he's a murderer, he's a drunkard, he's a drug addict. But what about those things you do, you know they're wrong? For instance, you eat too much chocolate, or you watch too much television. You go out to buy things out of compulsion to try to make you feel better. These things you know are wrong, and you tell God, God, I'm sorry I did that today, and I'm sorry I'm going to do it again tomorrow. These are what we call willful sins. And these are the things that you really get no comfort for. These are the things but these are big things. I mean, people say, well, it's a big deal, I'm eating chocolate. Well, you know, it's a human rebellion. It's something that makes you feel good. Now, do you want to give up all chocolate? I mean, I don't. I know you like dark chocolate, too,
yes,
right?
I like dark chocolate.
And I notice you like coffee.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and have you ever drank coffee and dark chocolate at the same time?
Yes,
as a meal? Yeah, you start to shake and you quiver and all that. But these are also sins, right along with murder. That's why we said before, God doesn't necessarily just nitpick at your sins. He dug down deep and took all these sins away. And it's almost like we said how shocking it is to think that God likes you. We know God loves us. Oh, God loves you, God loves you. But he likes me. Oh, my God, that's earth-shattering truth. And to think that he deals with these small issues, smoking cigarettes, these little bad habits that everybody has taken care of.
Amen. He has taken care of it.
Well, if he wants you to get rid of it, you will. Now, I'm not saying we talked about earlier, what was it, last week, about because we're free, now Paul says, remember that verse in Romans 6? Now that you're free from sin, let's deal with this infirmity in your flesh. Now that you're free and nothing can condemn you, yes, we exhort you to do the right thing. Right? Don't we?
Yes, we do.
I'm not going to tell you to keep drinking coffee and eating dark chocolate in the same meal.
Right.
That's ridiculous. Stop doing that, Dan. But it's not condemning you. And like I say in my book, if you smoke cigarettes, folks, I really feel bad for it. Both my parents died of lung cancer from smoking. If you smoke, you're going to reap what you sow in the flesh. But you need to know that this, whatever your bad habit is, insert your bad habit, whatever it is, there is now, therefore, no condemnation in the Spirit for you. This is not coming in between you and God. God's opinion is not degraded because you smoke cigarettes or eat too many donuts. It's
because he sees you in Christ.
He sees you through the Lord Jesus Christ.
For more, now I have to say this. We can tell everyone listening to us till we're blue in the face. But until the people listening actually open up their Bibles, get this concordant literal New Testament for literal accuracy, read 5, 6, 7, and 8, chapter Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and believe it.
Right.
Reckon what God tells you to reckon is true. Only then will this come real to you.
Yes, this is a walk of faith.
This is. It's something to be believed and to be reckoned according to Romans 6, 7, and 8. You have to do that. And you know why this is not popular? Because when people have this idea of sin, they like to go to these meetings, you know,
yes,
these big deliverance meetings, and it's got to have, it's always in a nice auditorium with the music and the good dress and, you know, all the stuff that goes with these revival meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And a revival meeting only, you know what a revival meeting tells me?
What?
They're in the flesh.
I never understood how to get the Holy Spirit to show up at 7 p.m. anyway.
And so here they, but the point being is, all this stuff is trying to please the flesh.
Yes, put on a fair face
in
the flesh.
But Romans 6, 7, and 8, 5, 6, 7, and 8, to sit down and systematically, patiently go through and listen to God's teaching is not fitting for a meeting like that. Because it's not exciting.
It's boring.
It's boring. And remember, in Romans 6, Paul says, are you ignorant that whoever are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death? How does he cure their ignorance?
I don't know.
Line by line, Paul tells you. 1, 2, and I wrote in my Bible here, Romans 6, from Romans 4 to verse 6, 4 to 7, there are exactly 9 items listed there. He's telling you step by step what took place.
Really? Wow, I didn't realize.
And then Romans 8 through 11, there's 8 items, step by step by step by step. He's telling you. And then what does he do after he lists these, a total of 17 items? He says, thus you also be reckoning yourselves, to be dead indeed to sin, yet living to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take the facts that he's laid down and reckon them true.
Can I say something about that word reckoning?
Yes, reckon. Go ahead.
Paul uses this word a lot. He uses the word realization and reckon. This has to do with your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Paul wants this to be renewed in our mind. And you can't reckon something as... You wouldn't be asked to reckon something as true if it were actually true in the flesh. Reckon yourselves to have died with Christ and to be alive. We're not actually made sinless yet. We're still awaiting the resurrection of our body. We're still awaiting to see these sins actually put away. But in the meantime, we are to reckon it as true. That defies the fact that it is true. In other words, if you're looking for your flesh to disappear, and if it had disappeared, Paul would never use the word reckon here.
That's right. And that's why in Romans 12, he says to present our bodies a living sacrifice, living, holy, well-pleasing to God, your logical, divine service. That term, logical.
Mm-hmm.
People talk about worship. Do you worship? You worship. Well, here it is. This is your logical, divine service. And not to be configured to this eon, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Not the removal of it, the renewing of it. The removal of it is at the worship service.
You do. It's what happens. One of the prerequisites to a modern worship service and the most church activities is removal of
your mind. Your mind.
Yeah.
Clear
here
your
you
mind.
Have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
It's a thinking process because you're mortal. Long as your bodies aren't going to change. That's why it has to do with your mind. This is all in spirit. It has nothing. Your body is going to the grave.
Yes, flesh is flesh.
Period. It will not change until this mortal puts on immortality when the Lord Jesus comes for his church, the ecclesia, which is his body. Any other comments here?
Yes.
We teased everyone out there.
I was just going
to
say.
We told them we were going to get to where sin came
from. You told people you were going to talk about the entrance of sin into the world.
Okay, we're going to have
to
get to that
tomorrow.
And I'm
dying to get to this other cartoon I have of this couple making out at the table. I got to talk about this.
Okay, we're going to have to do that, but we're going to have to hold off.
you're killing people.
We're
going
to have to hold off.
All right.
Now, listen, for those of you out there in this program listening, we hope this has been a benefit to you. Our goal is really your betterment, if I can use that phrase. We want to see you free and enjoying God. Paul says we rejoice or we glory
enjoying
in God.
Enjoying God today.
Yes. You don't have to wait to heaven to do that.
That's right.
If you want to keep this program running, please consider helping us out. Go to the website crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com. You can make a donation there electronically through PayPal, or you can help us out by sending something to Cross and Throne Ministries at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Against P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Our phone number is 847-312-4676. That's our line here for the ministry. And people have called us telling us they're happy that they're hearing us. And they get material from us. So we'd like to hear from you. Martin and I are going to have a conference here in Chicago on September 18th through the 20th. We hope to see you there. If you're down in the South, if you're in Tupelo, Elvis's birthplace down there,
yeah.
If you're in the Carolinas or Georgia or Tennessee, other in Michigan where you're listening, Amarillo or Tech, you know, California, you may not be able to make it to Chicago. Maybe you can make it to Amarillo.
We already know of a guy flying to
yeah,
Chicago from
coming,
California.
Somebody's coming from California, actually a couple people, I think. But anyway, so September 8th through 11th in Chicago, and we will be in Amarillo, Texas. Where's my date here? It is October 9th through 11th. Go to our website. The information will be there under Conference 2009. Until next time, remember this. The closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremony you will be. And what do you got to say?
Believe in God in spite of what the clergy tell you.